This conference is being recorded.
Okay, we're on record mode right now. I'm not a technical guy, so it's kind of challenging for me to figure these things out. Okay, we're in recording mode right now, and we can start. I want to emphasize that this is going to be a call where you're going to be, you know, free to talk about different things. Whether it be an in-person meeting, whether it be a teleconference, I try to provide an atmosphere that's positive, informative, and non-judgmental, and you know, we're really here to learn from each other. So I really appreciate any comments, any questions, and it would really be helpful for all of us if we have a dialogue. So let's start on that note. Does anybody have any questions or any thoughts about what being different means to you?
Well, okay. Chris, this is Martha. So I'll start if that's okay.
Okay, sure. Go ahead, Martha.
Okay. Well, as I emailed you, it does bother me, the idea of being different. And as I said, I wish I'd known about this when I was a munchkin, a younger person. But because I am, well, I'm a teacher and I'm out there with people, lots of groups and you know, and so on and involved. But I'm very aware, like, you know, if I say something that's inappropriate, because of course I did have a traumatic childhood, but there was always like the people pleasing there. And then, you know, if I think I said something wrong or I'm offending, I make too big a deal out of things, you know. And
yeah.
It's hard because I can get very easily overwhelmed, and that bothers me. I have to learn how not to take on too much and, you know, get too hyper.
Okay, well, you know what? You just echoed a very, well, first of all, I wish that I would have known about high sensitivity. I've only learned, you know, within 5 years I've learned about this. I've done research on it. And I really wish, I mentioned in my book that really wish that I would have known more about this. I would have understood myself more. And I would have, you know, things would have been a lot easier. So I think that we could all say that we wish we would have known about this sooner in our lives. And the fact that we know now we can really use it. And the purpose of the teleconference, the purpose of the group is to really emphasize that we're not alone in our feelings in this, that we do feel misunderstood. I think that's something that we can all relate to, being misunderstood. And I think a good part of that misunderstanding is the fact that we don't understand ourselves.
I'm just so glad that I know about this now. My life is getting better now that I know about it.
Okay. Well, this is good. And the thing is, we need to educate others about what we need and want if something bothers us. I think we could put it in a way that's not threatening. We can get our point across without offending other people. And meanwhile, when we do that, we can gain respect from others. Is there any incidences where, you know, you stood up for yourself or you wish you would have? Maybe we can, you know, discuss some kind of scenario and where you felt that being different was a real problem for you. Can anybody relate an experience?
Hey, it's Frank from New Jersey.
Yes, Frank.
Recently, you know, I'm a triker.
Yes.
You're
I was part of the online forum where we all would talk about trikes and stuff and whatnot and
right.
Different aspects. And I have a experience with marketing and this and that. And when they would have public conversations, I would overthink what they're talking about.
Right.
And they would think that I'm off the topic, when really I thought about the topic better than they did. And they kind of like made me feel very uncomfortable, to where I just left the forum. So now I'm the lone tracker. So it's like, I don't know, my wife was very uncomfortable being there, because she too is highly sensitive, and she knew exactly what I was talking about, even though she hadn't studied it, because she knows how my mind. And
right.
So I feel a little alone with this.
Okay, you know, people aren't going to, I think we have to come to the realization that people don't think the way we do, and maybe we kind of have to accept that and to actually work with it rather than against it. You know, you say you kind of, you can look at a situation, and you'll have a thought about it, maybe you look deeper into something. And does anybody get frustrated in when people are, when you don't have a lot in common with someone, or if you feel different, if you feel uncomfortable in a situation, does anybody feel, like you mentioned in your meeting, is it that, do you think that you could have handled it a different way, or was it good for you to just end it when you didn't feel comfortable? Thinking back on it. Okay. Frank?
I always tell myself that I'm not going to let myself get upset about it again, or I'm not going to talk. I always tell myself next time I won't say anything, but I always end up saying something and being misunderstood anyway.
Right.
I really feel like a peach among grapes sometimes. It's like they just don't take time to see exactly what they're talking about. I might even give them a link or something to look at, and they're like, man, I don't have time for this. It's like, you know, we need to talk about this, and I'm like.
you're trying to be informative, and they're kind of like steering this discussion a different way.
Yeah, it's like I'm the kind of person, I'll stay up, you think way past, since you're in bed and sleep, whatever, I'm up sometimes until 6 o'clock in the morning on the internet looking up stuff.
Yeah,
my mind is all, sometimes I even think in my sleep. It's crazy.
Right.
And it's like,
okay. Okay, well, you know what? The fact that you have honorable intentions, you know that you have honorable intentions and you want to give out information, the right people will be happy with that. You know what I mean? So a lot of, you know, the people that aren't, you know, that aren't into that, yeah, I mean, maybe these are people that are not for you anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things that, you know, we kind of have to pick and choose who we're, the kind of environment that we're around. And the fact that I get emails from all over the country and all over the world, and people, the main concern of highly sensitive people is the fact that they're different from others.
Yeah.
And it seems that when we're different, okay, first of all, when you're younger, when you're a child, the goal is to fit in with others, okay? You don't want to be too tall, too short, whatever. You know, you don't want to be different to be a sticking point for ridicule, okay? And the way things are now, doesn't it seem to me that with all these reality shows, people want to draw attention to themselves, whether it be positive or negative. It seems to have gone the other way, where when you're different, you get more attention.
Right.
So I don't know, are we going the right way with that? Or, you know, is it something that, you know, highly sensitive people, I don't necessarily want to be in the spotlight, especially for something where I'm made to look foolish.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, is that a big fear for us?
Yeah.
Can you relate? Can you relate your experience with that?
Yeah, I always don't want to be in the spotlight, but somehow I end up being in the spotlight because I feel like because I'm highly sensitive, I can relate and understand other people, even though they can't understand me. And
right.
So people are attracted to, you know, wanting, some people want to talk to me and, you know, get me involved in things. And I always end up doing things, but I have this war within me where I really prefer not to and just be an observer, but somehow I end up not being an observer, and I participate, but I always beat myself up afterwards for participating. So.
Okay, well, when you don't want it to participate, is it because you don't want to be in the limelight? Or
yeah.
Why is that
funny
with us? I feel that way too. Does anybody else relate to that, where they don't want to be in the limelight?
No, definitely.
Not really.
No, this is Martha. I like to get attention.
Yeah,
okay.
Me too.
We're different, but we're the same. Okay, so Martha likes to get attention. Is there anybody else that likes to get attention? I think, you know, there's no right or wrong answer to this. It's a question of what you feel comfortable with.
I think I like to get attention on my own terms.
There you go.
There's times when I'm overwhelmed and I just want to, like, fade into the background, which is a lot of the time. And then there's some times when I really want to be recognized. I have a tendency to be a little bit, I stand back because I don't want to be in the foreground. And maybe because some people interpret that as being aloof, sometimes I feel a little bit out of the loop for that, too. And then, you know, it's at those times when I, you know, crave maybe, like, you know, a little bit of attention, too. People come to me to share their secrets, but not always, you know, to, you know, be in the main stream of things. So.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that there are times when you don't mind being in the forefront, and there are times when you do. Okay. When do you feel comfortable in being a focal point?
Oddly enough, a lot of times it's not necessarily one-on-one. It could be in a group situation where I feel, because I feel like I get hide out in a group, and I feel more comfortable, like with a hit and run kind of, maybe it's this kind of situation. Whereas if I was meeting a new person one-on-one, I would feel less comfortable.
Okay, so you feel comfortable in a group setting rather than a one-on-one setting. But I guess it depends on
because it's less intensity. You know, you don't get all the attention, and you could just step back when you want to.
Okay, that's a very good point. Does anybody else feel comfortable in certain situations and uncomfortable in others?
Yes, I feel comfortable in group situations because I can find many different places to hide, like she says, or, you know, I do like to get attention when it's the right time, I feel. So I do have that war within me about attention versus not attention. And like she said, the group is very helpful for that. So.
Okay.
This is Sherry, and I have to say one-on-one is when I'm most comfortable. In a group, I'm going to be as though in a group, I definitely have more trouble. I feel like a great pressure inside that I need to communicate with people and be witty and charming. And after a group situation, I will, like, be exhausted.
Right.
So one-on-one, I can deal with what the person's giving and what I'm giving. And because I have hypervigilance about emotions, then I can, you know, better edit what I'm doing to get the most out of the situation, or for them to get the most out of the situation. But in a group, no.
Now, does it make any difference if it was a kind of group that you were comfortable with, or it's just groups in general?
If I were in a group with my family, I would be as uncomfortable as I am in a group of people I work with.
Right.
It wouldn't matter.
Okay.
Feel
so you're
pressure, and no words. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What pressure? You know, I kind of feel that way too. Yeah. It depends. You know, sometimes it depends on the person. That's another thing. It depends on the person. It depends on the group. I'm not really a group person, but in doing some meetings with the highly sensitive person friendship circle, I'm finding out different things about myself. Where if it's people that I'm comfortable with, people that I have things in common with, I'm better about it. It's really opened my horizons to do other things. And that's something I'm hopeful that we can get from this group, in the fact that if you come to an in-person meeting, if you participate in the teleconference, you're going to feel more comfortable to deal with situations. Does anybody else want to just mention any kind of experience that they've had, whether it be being comfortable with a group or being comfortable with a, you know, with a one-on-one?
Depends on the situation here, because, like I said, you don't know what an understanding person looks like until you just jump into the water or whatever.
Right.
Like, sometimes, yeah, I like to zoom around town with my three-wheel scooter and get all the attention I want, and people will ask me questions and stuff, and that's good. But then
you like
the group. Oh, yeah.
Oh, but that's good.
All burned out.
Okay, but this is good to know about yourself. You're gonna have more of those types of experiences, and maybe go ahead.
Yeah, I've always been expressive, to where sometimes it's like, I don't know, things that I do, you know, things that I like doing, whatever, is an expression of what I have inside, and no one I can get it out the way I want it to. So it's like I like to test myself sometimes and go through things that people normally wouldn't do. And,
right.
You know, some people will jump on the wagon and go, oh, yeah, you know, I should be doing what Frank does. But then, like you said, when you get into some kind of group situation and you know, you listen to the topic very intently, like bionically, you hear something else in your head that you want to say something, and then they're like, huh? Well, some groups will be like, huh? You know, what you talking about? You know, in the subject. Well, other ones will be like, that's very interesting, Frank. I never heard something like that.
Right.
Explain.
But that's it. There's different. There's people are going to react differently to different things, and you know, it's as I said, being highly sensitive, we do feel different than others, and it's you know, if everybody feels different, I know. Don't you find that everybody, regardless if you're short, if you're tall, if you're this, if you're that, if you're there's nobody that's normal. But it seems that if you're, I think, do you think in our minds we have more? Do you think that we feel different more than people perceive us to be?
Yes, I do.
Probably.
This is Sherry. And I think it's we're on like a spectrum where if we're on the end of the spectrum, and there's people that are sort of next to us that kind of get us, and then there's people on the other end of the spectrum that don't get us at all, and they're totally in their own world as well.
Right,
they're
right.
They're so opposite as us. Yeah.
Well, we are different. You know, the thing is, we are different, but I don't think the difference is, I don't think the way we're different is so terrible.
Oh.
And I find that when people don't know about their high sensitivity, they kind of think of their sensitivity as a negative rather than a positive. And to give, you know, I was looking up the word different in the dictionary, and I was looking at synonyms for different and good synonyms and bad ones. And maybe I'll just mention a few, and maybe we can add to the list. Should I start with the good or the bad?
Bad.
Bad. Okay, we'll go bad first, and then we'll go good. Okay, some synonyms for the word different would be atypical, bizarre, peculiar, startling, strange, abnormal, deviant, weird, psycho, and strange. Can anybody answer that?
Well, especially the startling one, and what the gentleman has said.
You must have quit.
In some people getting us and some people not. And I don't know if highly sensitive goes with a level of intelligence or if it goes with a way of looking at the world, but there are times that my brain will make connections with what the topic is that I don't know if it's vague or if it's so that people are caught off guard by it, and I don't think they know what to do with it, and I don't know how to help them know what to do with it.
Well, you know what? The question is it our job to, you know, the thing is, we're all different. As you know, we're all different. And is it up to us to help people adjust to us, or should we, can we just be who we are? With the realization that some people are going to love us, some people are not going to love us. What do you think?
I think we should just be who we are and learn to love and accept ourselves the way we are.
I like that.
Yeah,
any other thoughts?
And we can't help who we are, and the other people can't help who they are. They are who they are, and they can't change, and we can't change, but it's
That's
okay
right.
that we are the way we are.
Right. And we are. We are okay. We are okay, and it's, I don't know, it's kind of like a knee-jerk reaction when we feel we have to, I don't know, we feel uncomfortable in situations that other people don't. We feel, you know, sometimes, you find that sometimes we feel more uncomfortable for other people than we do for ourselves.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What? Who made us royalty where we have to think that? You know, it's amazing how we just get into a pattern where, you know, it's a pattern of thought, it's a pattern of action, or whatever, and we just continue the patterns that don't work for us, and we continue to do the same things. Just by being aware of your high sensitivity, do you feel that you've made it, that you've made adjustments where it's helped you more than it's hindered you?
Yes.
In what way?
Well, I'm on a journey of self-acceptance. You know, I've been in therapy for a long time because of a very traumatic childhood. But the fact of learning that I have a highly developed nervous system and that I'm one of 20% that do really helps me. And I've done a lot of reading with Dr. Aaron and Ted Zeff. And Cliff, I just got your book, which I like, you know. So this helps me to learn, to accept myself, to accept others, and that's where it's at for me.
Okay, you know what? It's not too late for us to learn, is it?
Never.
Nope.
Never.
It's not too late for us to learn. And although we've all mentioned before that we wish we would have known more about ourselves than we do, but, you know, how about let's all make a vow that we're going this day forward and that we're going to utilize our high sensitivity.
Yep.
How about that?
I didn't hear what you said, Cliff.
Okay. Well, I mentioned that why don't we just, we'll have a vow. This is a club, and we're going to take a vow that we're going to, where we are now, whatever happens in the past, we're going to move forward. And we're going to learn more about ourselves, and we're going to do maybe go out of our comfort zones, too. Sometimes we just need to get out of our routines and, you know, get out of our ruts and maybe get out there. Okay, what I'm finding is when I first started the group, I wasn't sure whether highly sensitive people really wanted to connect, myself included. And the reason why I thought that is because We do have a rich emotional life, but also, for me personally, I don't have a lot of friends, but I have good friends. And sometimes I just need to, sometimes I think of myself as a recluse, and people wouldn't think that, people that know me. And I think that it's something that I have to, I really want to connect, especially with highly sensitive people. Because I think that we need to validate each other. How about that? Do you find that?
Very good. Yes.
So I'm just new to this.
Sure.
I just learned about this like last week about this group and this labeling of high sensitivity, and I'm just learning that I am fitting into most of what it's all about. So it's
You know what I can do if it will help? I'll get into some characteristics of highly sensitive people. Would that help you?
Yep.
Sure. And
okay.
Definitely. Because I'm trying to, I've learned about myself, but I really want to kind of, I guess. Okay,
your name,
make sure,
your name
make sure that I am. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, your name is?
My name is Sherry.
Sherry, welcome to the group.
There's two Sherry.
Welcome to the group. I'm glad that you,
thank you,
joined us. We're all learning. I'm curious to find out, how did you find out about highly sensitive people, HSP? How did you find out about it?
Well, Dr. Judith Orloff, I think this is how. So I think that on Facebook I might have friended somebody that also, do you know about her work with empaths?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
I do.
Okay. So I think that's just how, where somebody else had friended her, and maybe your name came up through that. So then I saw the meetup group, and I looked there. So I really
okay.
don't know exactly the path, but just last
okay.
week or a few days ago, yeah, so I found your
okay.
meetup group.
Okay. There's a resource section on my website, www.thehighlysensitivepersons.com. Judith Orloff is on my resource section. She had contacted me. She's a highly sensitive person herself, and she's been on PBS, and she's a well-known author, psychologist. And she contacted me out of the blue. I don't know how she found out about me, but she contacted me saying that she was a highly sensitive person. And she mentioned me in her newsletter. In her newsletter, she's got over 40,000 people on her newsletter.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm familiar with her work, and I really, I'm glad that the word is getting out, because a lot of people don't know about being a highly sensitive person. I found out about, well, it's about 5 years now. I went to an adult ed class, and I found out that there was a class called Are You a Highly Sensitive Person? It's at the Learning Annex in New York City. And the name of the class was Are You a Highly Sensitive Person? Now, I knew that I was a sensitive person. I didn't know what the term highly sensitive was. Anyway, I'm going to mention some characteristics, but there's a self-test Elaine Aron did. She's the person that actually started the research. She's a psychologist out of San Francisco. And she did extensive research on highly sensitive people. And today, if you go to my website, you'll see the free self-test, and it'll give you a list of about 25 questions. I'm going to mention some of the characteristics.
I did take that test. And I'm
okay.
I think it was 22 or 23 out of 27.
Okay, you're among us.
Yes, I think I am. explains
you're,
a lot.
You're among us, okay? Because that's pretty, first of all, she went to thousands of interviews, and she's a highly sensitive person herself, and it's very accurate. Okay, I'll mention some highly
However,
sensitive person traits.
However, I don't think it's an inherited. I've heard that it's an inherited trait.
Yes.
Well, I don't think it is for me.
Okay, there's different schools of thought on that. According to Dr. Aron, she said that it is inherited. Okay, I've read in different, I've done research on it, and, they say that they say that it can be, that it's not necessarily inherited. Okay, in my particular case, it is inherited, because my father and my grandfather on my mother's side were highly sensitive, now that I'm looking many years back on it. Okay, so in my particular case, it is. Also, there's different schools of thought on shyness. Now, shyness, it's not necessarily, according to Dr. Aron, it's not necessarily a highly sensitive person trait. Although I think that, my personal opinion is, I think that shyness can be inherited. I think that highly sensitive people, sometimes they can be highly sensitive or shy. They might be that way because of a childhood incident that caused them to have shy tendencies or to be highly sensitive. Okay, that's really a judgment call. In my particular case, I'm not really a shy person, but I have a lot of shy tendencies, and I think that it was due to experiences that I had in childhood. So whether it's inherited, whether it's not, you kind of have to deal with where you are. So, when you're dealing with who you are and what you know, that's the point of where you have to go from. Because if you look back, we can always go back and say, well, I wish this, I wish that. We can't do that. We can't go back. The only thing that we can do is go forward. The fact that you found the information, you know, with all of us, finding this group, would you say it was a thirst? Of course, I'm pointing to the group. In finding this group and learning more about high sensitivity, do you think it was something that you instinctively wanted to know more about yourself? You needed to know more. You felt that you were different and you needed to know more about yourself. Do you find that that's the case?
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, I'm always trying to learn the self-help and the personal growth. I'm always trying to better myself.
Right. What kind of things do you do to, do you go to classes? Are there any books that you find helpful?
Yeah.
What are the things that you gravitate towards to find out more about yourself?
Spirituality. I've just learned about a different group that I attend their services. Different classes I've taken throughout the years in books.
Okay. Do you feel comfortable in classes like that?
Yeah.
You've gone to?
Yes.
Okay. So that's good. You're taking the initiative to learn more about yourself, but also you're getting into situations that you feel more comfortable in. Okay, that's a good lesson for all of us, because we're not going to feel comfortable in a lot of situations, and it's really incumbent upon ourselves to really take the initiative to go to a group, and it all centers around your interests. It could be anything. You know, if you want to get out to meet more people, it'll center around your interest. And if you take the initiative to do that, it really opens up yourself to a lot of different personalities. You're going to meet more people. You're going to have more friends. And the more friends that you have that you have in common with, the less aggravated, the less stressed you're going to be.
Okay. Is this another trait, too, where
go ahead.
You can be very connected to people?
Right.
To where you can
good and bad. We can be connected good and bad.
No, I'm actually saying to where, like, because when I looked up HSP, because almost like sometimes HSP is linked to empathy, and like I'm not saying where it's like I'm in like somewhat of a psychic category, but like I know it for myself is that I'm very emotionally connected sometimes to people to some
okay.
people where. I don't even cry for myself. I cry for them or something, and that's where my nervous system goes up and down, to where
right.
I come on the form. When someone's upset, when someone's hurt, I start feeling what they're feeling.
Right. Well, that's what I think that's part of being highly sensitive, where we take on other people's energies. We can take on other people's pains. We can mm-hmm. take on other people's happiness.
Yeah.
And that could be, the thing is, if we don't filter that,
right.
we can drive ourselves crazy.
Yeah.
We have to know when to set boundaries of when it's helpful. I mean, we want to be helpful. That's another thing. We want to be helpful. We like to be, people come to us for advice because we're good listeners, because people think that we understand them. And the fact of the matter is, we do.
When I talk to people, it's like I'm watching a movie. I'll get all the characters, the plot, and all this, and I'll just that's how I met my wife, Christine. Who's
right.
She was so touched that I turned off one time, some guy was like, "Dude, Frank, you should have done that." I turned off the TV just to listen to it.
Right, right.
I wanted to make sure I heard every nuance of what she was saying, because I talk to people, it's almost like
right.
I find a little bit of me in them.
Yeah. Okay, is there any, I'm going to mention some good synonyms for being different. Would you like to hear some of them?
Please do.
Okay. Okay, extraordinary, rare, special, uncommon, unique, unconventional, unusual. Are there any others that you could think of?
I should have to start with.
I could add some more. Deep thinking, curious, and intuitive, creative, conscientious, compassionate. We have the ability to sense the needs in others. I think we're pretty good.
Yeah.
I think it's good to be different. I think it's good to be different. On the calls that I have, whether it be in person, whether it be on a teleconference, I don't want to sugarcoat that we don't have challenges as being highly sensitive people. But I do want to emphasize the positive parts of it. If you have any challenges, we can talk about that. And that's the purpose. That's the purpose of what we're doing. And we want to. I know that we can relate to each other's experiences, and that's very important. Question I want to pose: any other positive synonyms for Holly's for different?
Hello.
Yes.
Oh, people are thinking.
Okay.
It was all silent.
We're deep thinking. Okay, I want you to just thinking about that, because if you feel that you have something, bring it up to the group. Bring it up to the group. Now, there's a lot of people on the line. Some people would like to talk. Some people don't feel comfortable. I want to try to get as many opinions as we can. We'll want to mention it's a safe, supportive, non-judgmental atmosphere.
Well, I would like to say this. This is Sherry. I'll say Sherry W. because there's two Sherrys.
Okay.
Because you asked the other Sherry how she kind of found out about your group. My life has become very lonely because I have a combination of anxiety and I'm highly sensitive, HSP. And I knew this already about me because I'd already done some online research about ASP.
Okay.
And had been in a passive role in a Yahoo group. So I would read other people's experience. But I decided that nobody was going to come knock on my door and ask me to be their friend. So I kind of have to do something to get out. So I found Craigslist groups, and I joined six. Four of them are interest groups, like movie, that sort of thing.
Okay, that's good.
And then two of them, one is a group called Depression, Stress, and Anxiety and Stress, and then your HSP. And my thought is that while I'm doing the activities in the other four groups, it might be good to try to draw strength from the anxiety group and from the HSP group to have the courage to try to do the other stuff.
Well, what can you do both?
Yeah.
Why do you find that you have to draw a distinction between doing one or the other?
I'm not understanding your question.
Participating
in your group or the anxiety group, I hope to build the same friendships and connections that I might in the other group.
Okay.
So I have
the
same purpose, but it's kind of like I here we're only talking one-on-one. If we all talk at once, we can't hear anything. I don't know how I'm going to be when I come to somebody's house or go to a pub or something and I'm sitting across the table from six or seven strangers.
Right.
It's a safe place to do that. Well, I don't know. According, we may not all be feeling the same way, but it'll be
okay.
A good...
We all have anxiety. We all have anxiety, including myself. Because, when I started this group, I knew no one. Okay, and it's very challenging because I do have a problem with social anxiety. This is something I've had since I was a child. And I find that the more things that I do, the easier it is for me to be out, to be myself, and not to apologize for who I am. Now, when you feel that way about yourself, people sense that, and they'll treat you accordingly. It seems that people have a sixth sense about other people, good and bad. And if you have a good opinion, if you feel good about yourself and you project that, people will respond in kind. Now, about the kind of group that we do, like you mentioned, you belong to four other interest groups.
No, I just joined. I don't belong to anybody yet.
Okay, so you haven't gone to any in-person meetings, is that right?
No, none.
But you'd like to.
Yes.
You would like to.
Yes, sir.
Okay. You know what's going to get you to go to a meeting, whether it be this one or another one?
Being so dang lonely. That's what's going to get me to go to a meeting.
Okay, but you're going to have a strong desire to go to something at some point, and hopefully it's sooner rather than later. Does anybody else relate to that? I think that we can all relate to this at some point. Is there any?
I do. I mean, that's what I was talking about before initially. Like when you don't know anyone, they feel more comfortable in a group, especially when you have a common thread.
Right.
Rather than someone one-on-one that you don't know. So, and I'm interested in getting into more groups like Sherry is too, but I think this group is so valuable because you already have a built-in commonality there. And
right. What got you to, now have you gone to any other groups besides ours?
Yeah, and it was a dance group, but nobody, everybody dances much and doesn't talk that much. But, I want to get out to a couple of more myself. You know, I really feel a need to get more social than I have been.
Okay.
Is that true as well?
Everybody dances.
Go ahead.
Talking.
Is being isolated and lonely kind of a trait?
Feeling lonely? Yes.
Isolated? Yeah.
Well, I think it's, I think it's, we do feel isolated because we don't want to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that true? We don't have that need to get out, but I think that, I'm finding as I get older, I have more of a need for connection.
Mm-hmm.
And also with technology being the way it is, it's very easy for us to become isolated.
So it's a double-edged sword. We want to be isolated, but then again, we get so damn lonely that we need friends and we have to get out.
Okay, so you know what we do? We meet up. I never heard of Meetup until my friend had mentioned this. Oh, okay, and it just opens up a whole new world for you because you. And it's with the organizers very important too because they set the tone of how the meeting is. There's some organizers that don't take control of the group, and it could be a problem, especially for highly sensitive people. Is there anybody else that belongs to other meetup groups that haven't had a good experience?
Hello?
I've been going to one for a long time. It's a vegan meetup group for dinner.
Right. How did you find that?
It's just in my local area. There's an Earth Save group, which is a monthly potluck that I go to, and then another day in the month we go out to dinner.
Okay. Are you comfortable in that situation?
Yes, because I've been going for a long time and know a handful of people.
Okay. What got you to first go? This is going to be very helpful for all of us because what made you go to the first meeting, being apprehensive about going to something like this?
Yeah, and actually I went alone. I've been a long-time vegetarian, and the topic was very interesting to me, so I went to that. group by myself, yeah. And then I continue going, and I've been going for about 4 or 5 years.
Okay. So the lesson learned here is that you had an interest, you saw a group that you were that shared your interest, and that got you over the fear of attending that first meeting.
Right.
And when
you
went to the first...
You can continually see people and build a semi-friendship. It's not, you know, not very close friends, but at least it's
right.
People that you know each time, and it builds.
That's it. That's another thing too. We have a choice to pick and choose our friends, and sometimes we highly sensitive people think we have to be friends with everybody. Is that true?
Yes.
See, that can get us.
Not for me. I keep people at a distance.
Okay, well that's good.
With me,
okay.
I have one or two really deep and. It's almost to the point of intimacy, but not sexual intimacy. I mean,
right,
that's
right.
How deep friendships get. And so, but it'll only be one or two. I don't think I know what it means, what the word friend means. And I know this isn't probably a place to do it, but I've always been. But that goes with the social anxiety too, and with the HSP because. I don't know, like I have a lot of acquaintances and I have people that I might go to their house and have dinner or our children might
right.
play together.
Right.
But I don't know when you call it a friend.
See, something like that, a friend is something that we define for ourselves. Maybe that's a good exercise to do is to just put down the elements of what kind of friendship that you'd like. You could have a friend to go to movies with. You can have a friend to go to the mall with. You can have a friend to go to the vegan group with. You know what I mean? You can have different kinds of friends for different kinds of things. And also the involvement of friendship is something that we can control too.
Right.
You know, the fact that we... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I don't know if this is off topic or if this... But, I've been reading books about blood type, and like I think I'm blood type AB, and like only 2% of the population is AB, and my dad is a blood type AB too, and we're both highly sensitive, and some of my friends who are blood type AB I can sort of relate to, and I'm wondering like I know like blood type O is 40% of the population and. Blood type AB is 40% of the population, and blood type B is about 15%, and blood type AB is about 5%. And I'm wondering if, like, a lot of highly sensitive people are blood type AB, we're just different?
Are there any ABs on the line? Yes, sir? You know, I can just say yes?
Yes, no, B plus. I'm an AB.
Okay, I'm a type O.
I'm O, too.
What's
okay? See, I'm a type O blood type.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. You know, I don't know if blood type has anything to do with it. As I said, there's different schools of thought whether highly sensitive, with being a highly sensitive person is inherited, whether shyness is inherited, whether a lot of things are inherited. I think that we just have to. I think according to the things that I've read, for me especially, it's true in my case. Whether it's true in your case, I mean, who knows? But the fact of the matter is, if you feel that you have a lot of traits of highly sensitive people, okay, well, that's you know that you're highly sensitive, and now you can work with it.
Right, yeah.
In this group, you know, the highly sensitive person friendship circle, I don't want this to, you know, it is a support group, but I don't want it to be a support group where we think there's something wrong with us. Because there is nothing wrong with us. And it's a question of how we perceive the world. Question I have for the group. Do you feel like you have to try to fit in with everybody else?
Yes.
Nope. Yeah.
What way do you feel you have to fit in?
For me, it's like imposter syndrome. You know, just don't do anything to look different, call attention to myself. Just that whole thing of there's something odd about me, and that sooner or later, you know, they're going to notice. And so.
I'm not making fun, but this is kind of the way we all feel. I'm not going to make a jib blanket statement, but I think that we have a lot of common feelings about this, that if people really know who we are, that's going to be such a terrible thing.
Right.
I mean, you know, but you know what?
I sit at home and I think, what a shame that is, because I think, you know, at my core, I'm really, really a nice person. I'm very caring, very giving. I mean, I have a lot of good qualities. So, yeah, that big
yeah, when we can talk about this and we can look at it logically, it is illogical the way we feel. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm saying we kind of think we're thinking too much of this. And if people found out that we're different, is that really so terrible? And
I haven't learned the skills to deal with the finding out.
And well, maybe just to think about. Maybe this is something that you could think about. Is it so terrible if somebody really found out who we are? Are we sensitive or not? Is it a bad thing if people found out who we really were or really are? And if we feel that we're lacking in some way, what can we do to improve ourselves? So this way, when people know who we are, that would be a good thing. And that's something that, you know, maybe something to think about. Maybe just, you know, purpose of the call is to just, I don't know, just get different thoughts about this. So this way, you know, this is something to really think about. And just because you've thought a certain way about yourself, it doesn't mean you can't change your feelings. And it doesn't mean you can't improve. And it doesn't mean, although you haven't gone to groups and you haven't had the need to reach out to others, it doesn't mean that you continue to be in that pattern if you don't want to be. If you want to be, that's your choice. If you feel you want to do more, then you need to think about, okay, what can I do? What can I do? The fact that you're on this call, the fact that you're a member of this group, the fact that you're looking into other things, these are all positive steps in growth, regardless of how old you are, regardless of how you think about your high sensitivity or about yourself, whatever. I mean, we're in the information age. You can get information about anything if you want to learn something. You know, you could always get the information. If you want to join a group with Meetup, for example, any kind of interest that you have, it seems to be limitless, the kind of groups that they have. And especially right in your backyard, you type in your zip code, you're into being vegan, vegetarians. I'm sure there's a million groups or a lot of groups that are right in your backyard where you don't have to travel. And through that, like Sherry, you start with one meeting. If it works out, great. You expand upon that. If you feel uncomfortable, you try something else. It's not so terrible if we go to something and it doesn't work out. How many people are perfectionists on the line?
Yes.
I am.
But I'm a procrastinating perfectionist.
Okay.
Or procrastinate, yeah, because I want to make it perfect, so I procrastinate.
I do too.
Okay, I'm raising my hand too. How many other people are raising their hand?
Me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say we're all that way. Okay. Mm-hmm. The awareness of it, the talking about it, the joking about it, whatever. We can move beyond this and to, you know, our perfectionism is being a perfectionist can be a good thing, but if it's taken to the extreme, then there's problems because it keeps you from doing the things that you want and need to do.
Yeah.
Okay? A perfectionist is a good thing because we try to do the right things. We're conscientious. We try to make it perfect. And I don't think that's such a terrible thing, but as I said, if it keeps us from doing things that we want to do and it keeps us from doing anything, this is a problem. So hopefully this call will give you some motivation to pursue things and to go to a group, to go to our, you know, I plan to have some in-person meetings. And I really need to have input on what type of meetings, where we can have them, because I'd like to get as much attendance as I can, because it's very important. Whenever we've had in-person meetings, people thank me for having them. And I thank them for coming because I benefit from it too.
Well, where are we going to meet and when?
Well, that's what I'm working on that. I've had some health issues, and I really need to get myself together, but that's why I want to keep in touch with teleconferences and also teleseminars, but I do want to have in-person meetings. And whenever we've had some, it seems that the warmer weather when we can be outside.
That's great, yes.
You know, these are we've gone to the Philadelphia Museum, we've gone to parks. If I have a seminar, it's very important that we have the right setting, because I don't want to meet in a crowded place. How many people on the call like to be at noisy crowded places?
No.
Okay.
First time I walked into a casino in Atlantic City, I almost had a heart attack. Because the stimulation, the noise, the lights, the people, the smells, just it was sensory overload.
Yeah, yeah.
Not even had. But I have a place, if you want to just have a face-to-face meeting and we, like, bring desserts and sit together, I have
that
a
place. That would be
good.
Where are you located?
Pardon?
Where are you located?
Black Horse Lane off Route 1 South.
Oh, you know what? If you could email me information, that might be a good idea. As I said, why don't you email me information?
I'll email you my pertinence, and then you can use it to make a decision, and if it looks like it'll work out.
Okay, you know what? We'll do that. What I want to do is we'll call each other. You know, I'll speak to you privately about this, and we'll work out the logistics of it, because it's really important that we meet, and Being the organizer of the group, I want to promise everybody that, you know, I keep this non-threatening and non-judgmental, and I want to keep it positive. Okay? I want to talk about, as I said, I want to talk about our issues, because it's very important that we do that. But I want to do it from a positive standpoint, where we can learn from it, we can learn from everybody's experiences, and I want people to feel comfortable in coming. Because you've all mentioned that you want to come, but you don't want to come. And something else before I forget, it would really be helpful to myself and the group, after we finish the teleconference, you're going to get something from me up rating the group. If you can make any comments, I'd really appreciate it, because I learned from that. And also, if you could rate the meeting. Now, people, other members of the group, read that. And hopefully, if you had a good time, if you feel that you've gotten something out of it, hopefully it's going to encourage other people to come and to join us and to meet with us. So I really appreciate if you could do that. Another thing that I do mention on the teleconferences and also on the in-person meetings, I understand that if people want to leave early, whether, as I say, in-person or whether they want the teleconference, whatever, I want people to feel comfortable where they don't have to apologize for leaving if they feel they have to. So I'm trying to I'm trying to have, as I said, I want to have it in the right setting where it's quiet, where we can talk, where we have privacy. And I'm looking into places where we can have the meetings and, you know, we could share our interests too. Does anybody else have any thoughts, any questions?
No, but I found this very beneficial.
Very good. Very good. I really appreciate that. I have a couple more questions just to think about, or if you want to make a comment. I try to prepare for these calls because I never know how many people are going to be there. Call many. I mean, it's really, I don't know how. It just so happens that we do have a lot of people on the call. I really try to think about the kind of things that we can think about, maybe talk about. So what ways, okay, in what ways can we make it okay for ourselves to be different? You want to write that down? Maybe you could just think about that because we feel different.
Question.
But I mean, this is an HSP question.
Can you repeat the question, please?
The question is, how can we make it okay for ourselves to be different?
Okay.
How can we make it okay for ourselves to be different? You know, it's okay to be different.
Maybe we could just meditate on the positive aspects of being different.
Well, yeah, I think that if when we talk, when we meet, I think we're going to realize it's okay. Because hopefully you can see that we really have a commonality in the way we think and feel. And isn't, I don't want to say that misery loves company, but I think it's kind of comforting to realize that, you know, we all have the same, you know, we have similar hang-ups. We're not the only ones. Okay, and, you know, also with my newsletter, for example, I'm trying to get people to talk about themselves. You know, what I try to do is to actually try to have people mention what they do. I want to have a HSP, highlighted HSP of the month. Okay, they could talk about their business, they could talk about their work, they could talk about they could talk about any interest that they have. In fact, now that I think about it, Sherry, there's a member of our group. Her name is Gillian. If you look in my, if you don't get my newsletter, I, you know, it would be good to sign up for it. But if you go to my website, it's www.thehighlysensitiveperson.com. Gillian, she's a vegetarian. And I wrote a story about her, so you might want to check in the, I think it's April 2009 newsletter.
Okay.
And she's a member of our group, and she, you know, you might be interested in emailing her.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that, and also I think we could talk about our interests. Okay, we probably have a lot in common, and I find it very heartening that people get together. People have gone away to different things together, and they get together on a regular basis, and they met through this group. So I think that you can meet people with a common interest, not only common interest of being highly sensitive, but also you'll find out that being highly sensitive, we have a lot of similar interests. So these are very important. Talking about being different, I just want to just make a comment about that. It's ironic that when we were children, we were conditioned to fit in with others. Now it seems that people are clamoring to be different. Different is being celebrated, whether it's stupid or not. And the example of that is the reality shows.
Like the Balloon Boy thing.
Oh, I'm going to make a guess. There's nobody on this line that wants to be in a reality show. Is that correct?
Correct.
Not me.
Not me.
No way.
Already a reality show.
Okay. Another thing I want to point out, too. Can you think of any famous people who are perceived to be different that you could think of? I have a couple of examples, but I wanted to think. Who is
Woody
anybody?
Allen?
Okay, that's a good one. Who was that?
Bobcat Goldthwait.
Okay, I remember him. I remember him. Who else?
This may sound silly, but Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln?
I'm sorry, but I know it's back in history, but he was.
Okay, but you know what? Abraham Lincoln is probably a good example of that.
Yep. He might have even been sensitive, you know.
Well, I wish we could talk to him. I think that he had a lot of common sense. Abraham Lincoln had a lot of common sense. He looked at things from a different point of view.
Yes, he did.
It seems that he really gave a lot of thought in the decisions that he made.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think he
okay.
a lot of... Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
okay. I'm sorry.
What were you going to say?
Ansel Adams was a famous photographer, but
yes.
He was known to, like, go to the city and party, and then when he got overwhelmed, he would just go in the mountains and photograph the mountains for maybe 6 months at a time. So he vacillated, for one thing. So I'm assuming he was an HSP, too.
Right, right. Things that come
probably
to mind
the gentleman
from
who died. Probably the gentleman who died today who wrote The Catcher in the Rye.
What was it?
J.R. Salinger. 50 years of his life. Salinger.
Salinger, that's
J.D.
right.
Salinger.
That's it. That's
he was
it.
Isolated
yes,
for the last 50 years.
Yeah.
Now, there was somebody else who was Howard Hughes.
Yes.
He was a brilliant guy, and he... I guess he was eccentric or whatever, but towards the latter part of his life, he's a recluse. Now I don't want to point these people out as typical highly sensitive people, but I think there's a commonality where a writer, an artist, Leonardo da Vinci would be somebody that comes to mind, and William Shakespeare. These people were considered different in their time. Henry Ford was considered different in his time. Mozart, Einstein, Thomas Edison. Okay? I mean, there's a lot of examples of very artistic, creative, intelligent people.
Chris, I'd like to say something.
Sure,
Chris,
yes.
This is Martha. May I say something, please?
Sure, please.
As I've said to the folks, I'm a teacher, but I'm creative in dancing. I'm a talented dancer and writer, but I am not a reclusive type of HSP
right.
at all. In fact, if I'm alone on a dark, gloomy Sunday, I can get very alone, very lonely. And I am out with loads of groups. I have lots of friends, and I'm a people person with social skills, if I may say so. So I am in no way reclusive. So
right. Well, that's good, and we don't. And the thing is, sometimes we feel like we want to be reclusive, but we don't always. It's okay. We have to know our limits. We have to know our boundaries. There are times when we need that time alone. There are times that we need to get out. And I think
the times that we
need to get out, sometimes we have to force ourselves a little bit. But I think we've had a lot of good examples of getting out in the world to things that we're comfortable with, whether it be some kind of interest. Okay? Some kind of interest and that's what we have to do. Okay? Whether it's learning something about yourself, a hobby, self-help, I mean, anything. Anything.
I have to do more of that because I am divorced. I have a lot of friends, but most of them are with their husbands on the weekend. And I'm going to get back into dancing, like on Tuesdays down in Nutley, and
right.
But I get a little, sometimes I could get a little bit shy about going out again, because what if I, had a problem. I do the online dating, and with an eHarmony match, everything was going along beautifully, and then he stopped, and then I, oh my gosh, I got depressed and everything.
Okay,
but
you know, okay, but you know what? You try. First of all, you try. Not everybody's going to like you, like us.
No.
You know, people aren't going to like us, and you know what? So what? That's my attitude. You know what I mean? Once I, if I get these thoughts where I'm feeling negative, or you know, I just don't feel good about things, whatever. And you worry about what people are going to think, and you know that's something that you never lose. You know, it's just part of us. But I think that once that negative self-talker, you know, speaks in your ear, you got to say to it, "So what? So what if it? So what if it didn't work out? So what if this person doesn't like me? The important thing is I'm being myself."
Yeah, well, and that's true, and that's what I talk about in therapy a lot, and so forth. You know.
Okay, and the fact that you're taking the initiative to do that, I mean, that's a lesson for all of us, that we should seek it. And if the worst could happen, all right, so you won't go again. Maybe you'll meet some friends, maybe you won't. Okay, but you go on to something else. You just say,
I'm going Tuesday, I'm going to that dance, I can tell you that much right now.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good. You have to, you know what, you have to pat yourself on the back for doing that, because it's not easy. But you're taking the initiative to do it. So there's a lot of good points about being different. It's not a terrible thing. We have to, when we're more comfortable in our own skin, it doesn't make any difference what other people think. And I think that's something that we all have to work towards. Okay, sure, please. So,
I just wonder if others experience that, when you said that, feeling comfortable in your skin. Do others experience that there are some days it's worse than other days, or sometimes it's worse than other times?
Okay, that's a good question. Anybody have any thoughts about that?
All the time.
I think when I have to express myself at work, I'm more in my head, and I can think things through, but when I come to talking in a large group, I get tongue-tied, so I'm not feeling comfortable.
Okay, but you know what? There's a strategy in that. I used to, okay, I had a problem in school. Okay, I had a problem in grammar school where a teacher picked on me, and it just, I was no good at school. You know, I didn't participate in group discussions. And the biggest fear that I have, and the biggest fear that I have now, is looking foolish in front of others. I think that's a common, you know, we don't like to be scrutinized. We don't like to be embarrassed. And I'm on the high side of that. And if you want to participate in a group, you know, sometimes you just have to think about things that you'd like to ask. Or if you want to ask a question, I guess the characteristic of a smart person is to realize that they don't know they have all the answers, and you don't have to know all the answers. And I think a characteristic of a intelligent person is asking questions.
My wife Christine wanted to say something.
Sure, Christine.
Hello.
Yes, hello. Hi, Christine.
How you guys doing?
Good. What would you like to say?
Yeah, I'd like to say I can relate to. I've been listening the whole time, and I can relate to a lot of what was being said. And I'm also very highly sensitive.
Uh huh.
And when From day one, I've always been that way, and so it was hard for me. It was hard for me in school sometimes because I was different.
Okay. Well, but you know what? It's okay. It's okay to be different, and hopefully that the comments that you heard from, you know, people on the call, that you're not alone. You're not alone in this.
That's right.
But different is not a bad thing. And as I said, the way you feel about being different, you know, you have a lot to offer too.
That's right.
And the more confidence you have with yourself, you're going to be more confident in dealing with other people.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's it. It's something you got to do in small steps. It's not going to just happen. It's a lifelong process where it doesn't happen overnight. You have to take small steps to do it. That's what life is. Life is a combination of taking small steps. And the more small steps that you, the more small steps that you can take, that's going to serve you. The happier you're going to be. Make
that's
sense?
Right. Exactly.
So I'm glad that you're on the call. I'm glad that you, you know, that you gave your point of view because it's very helpful. Hopefully, it's helpful to you to get your thought out there. But also, it's helpful to the group to realize that, you know what, I kind of feel that way too.
Exactly. I mean, even I go to counseling sometimes, and
right.
The counselor, at least the one that I had recently, did not, understand or at least try to understand. And I just don't want to be around people who are going to kind of, assume things about me
right.
or, you know, I misunderstand something and assume something about me like they already know me. It's just,
right,
it's just,
well.
And I'm glad that I have Frank, you know, as my husband, because he always stands up to the counselors that have done this to me.
Right. Well, you know what? It's a question of having, whether it be a counselor, whether it be a friend, whether it be anyone. You know, if you don't feel comfortable, that's where your highly sensitive person intuition is coming through. If you, whether it be a doctor, whether it be anybody. Mm-hmm. If you don't feel comfortable with somebody, well, you know what? Maybe that counselor, maybe that doctor is not for you.
That's right.
Maybe you might have to go on to something else. So you kind of have to trust your feelings to make the change if you need to.
That's right.
So, you know, the more you know about this, the more you'll have the confidence to make the change.
That's what I'm going to do. And this way
you'll get... You'll be able to talk to people that will help you rather than that are going to aggravate you.
That's right.
Okay, so you'll be okay, but just trust your feelings.
That's what I'm going to start doing.
Just trust your feelings. Any other thoughts? Anything else anybody would like to say?
I came in late.
Okay, your name?
This is Amy from Edison.
Hi, Amy.
Hi,
Amy. I miss you so much. I haven't seen you in such a long time.
I know. I've almost forgotten I was out, and I didn't come in until about half an hour ago, so I missed the beginning.
Okay, well, you know what? It's okay. I do have this call is being recorded,
okay.
And I am going to send you the recording of it. And of course, you can always, you know,
mm-hmm.
ask me any questions or whatever.
I had some thoughts. What?
Please.
Okay.
Please.
I want to listen to the beginning, because it occurred to me. You know, I've felt different since I was very young, and I went through a huge period also where I was social anxiety and didn't talk to anyone, and I didn't understand a lot of it had to do with being highly sensitive.
Right.
And I think for me. Coming into this, you know, learning to come into and appreciate the qualities of high sensitivity has kind of given me a little more confidence.
Good.
It's kind of like a dovetail joint. Having enough confidence to go out and show you're different and show that, you know, there's nothing wrong with being sensitive,
right.
and getting, you know, and having the interaction and getting the feedback and learning how to deal with the rejection or, you know, connecting with people knowing how to connect with people who truly appreciate it, that also gives you more confidence back.
It does. It does.
But
it does.
So it kind of feeds off of it. And it is hard to take the first step. And I know that, I mean, the best thing is just being able to reach out to people who understand and appreciate and, you know, and to talk about it with people who appreciate
right.
what you know, that's where you start. You start with something very small. And there are always going to be people who are not going to understand and appreciate, and that's painful. So,
and you know, and this is going to be, here's the thing, this is going to be part of
mm-hmm.
whether you're highly sensitive or not. there's some people that are going to understand you, and there's some people that aren't. So it's not just a highly sensitive person thing.
No, it's right. I mean, and that's true actually with the in the whole population. You know, not everyone's going to understand everybody, but being highly sensitive, you know, for us, you know, when we get hurt, instead of it feeling like a bump, it's like a mountain going over a mountain.
Right. Right.
It's that much more difficult. It's that much more painful. And it takes a lot longer sometimes to recover. But it's like, for me, I mean, I'm still very cautious about things. But I find that the more I can learn to interact with people, it's like exercise.
It's like a muscle.
It really is like a muscle. And the more you do it, and it's not about pushing yourself. It's about pacing yourself and treating yourself with kindness and consideration the entire time, because, you know, we're not always going to get back what you need. But just pacing
that's very well put. It's very well put.
Very good. Very good, Amy.
Very good, Amy. And it's very, very well put. And the thing is, we learn from everything that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't be afraid.
Yeah. If you are afraid, it's okay. It's just a matter of being aware that you're afraid, but being able to work through the fear and not run from it. I mean, if you wait until you're not afraid, you won't do anything. But it's about
taking small,
manageable risks that you can tackle if it's something this simple or small. You know, that's for me. I mean, I have tremendous fears right now,
But that's it. You mentioned it. You hit it right on the head where you push. It's not like you're pushing yourself to do things that you don't want to do.
Yeah, I'm,
you know
I'm
what
trying
it,
to.
It's something that you want to push yourself to, something that you think you'd like to do.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things I've done, and it's been very scary, but it's just taking little steps.
Okay. Looking back on that, the things that you ventured out into, it worked out, didn't it?
Some didn't. Some did.
Some
the ones that didn't work out, though, it's not like a terrible thing. It's like, okay,
right.
I tried this. It didn't work. And at one point in my life, I would have been devastated. I'll never do it again. But,
right.
And there are some things I still feel that way about. But the ironic thing for me is if I know that I could fail at something and it doesn't bother me, I'll try it.
Right.
You know, if I'm only going out there with the feeling I have to succeed, I have to do this perfect,
I have
to be successful, then I'm so self-conscious, I might not try it. I overthink it.
I mentioned on the call about perfectionism, and we do have high expectations.
Yeah, I do.
And sometimes that gets in the way. I mean, perfectionism is a good thing. It's not taken to the extreme. It'll prevent you from doing the things that you want to do.
Oh, yeah.
So that's right. You do have to take the small steps, and that can't be emphasized. You gave some very good examples about yourself.
Yeah.
Some things have worked out. Some things haven't. And you know what? If it didn't work out, so what? Next, you go on to the next thing.
And that's a hard. I mean, it's a hard thing to accept when you're always looked at things as you have to get it right each time.
It is. You know what? The acceptance of ourselves is paramount.
Yeah, that's what's important. You really have to accept and love, you know, who you are, even the stuff you don't like.
That's it.
Right.
I mean, everybody's got stuff they like and they don't like.
Oh, yeah.
Let's work with what we got.
Yeah, you know, I mean, as I read somewhere, God doesn't make any junk.
Isn't it true that we're harder on ourselves rather than other people being harder?
We are.
Absolutely.
So sometimes we think that the world is against us, but sometimes we're against ourselves.
Yeah, I think we get in our way the most. That's what people keep telling me, and I'm always getting in my own way.
We do.
We do.
But you know, we're learning by just by talking about it.
Yeah.
We're learning, you know, I see some of the things that you have on Facebook, and it's you have some very good information, very heartfelt.
Oh, thank you.
And it's very helpful. It's very, very helpful. I'm sure it's helpful to you, but it's helpful for the people that read it.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah.
Well, I'd like to read it myself.
You got to join the group on Facebook.
I like hearing Amy talk, so I would like that.
Well, you know
really?
What? I haven't seen her in such a long time, but I hope to see her soon.
Yeah.
Well, I wish that there were a way that the group, the whole friendship circle, you know, we have to, you know, be private and so forth, you know. But I mean, it's too bad there isn't some way for us to connect one with the other, and maybe we can think about that in a creative way, how we could do that, Cliff.
Okay. Well, you know what? We can do it through the message board. We could do it by emailing each other.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody has any information or anybody wants to put out a thought, that's the reason for the message board. We can relate to it.
Yes.
If you want me to if you want to email me to post something for you, I'll do that.
But I mean, is it okay? Do you think it would be advisable if we had each other's email addresses?
Well, actually, if you go to the member section in the Honey Sensitive Person Friendship Circle, you can, I guess, click the link for the person, and that it's you know, it'll have on there to email. You can email people on it.
Oh.
So that's pretty easy to do. And, you know, you have the option of not wanting to get email. So, you know, the people that... I send group emails out all the time, you know, for information about the classes or, you know, if something comes up or whatever.
Oh yeah, I get them, but I meant individually, like.
Well, if
you want to post
something on the message board, I can help you post that. If you want to contact individual people,
is it kind of like a Facebook thing where if you sent a message through the Meetup website? You know, it goes to the person, but you don't have their email access. Is it kind of more
right.
like a Facebook
That's
message
it.
Sort of thing?
I think it is. I think it is because some people don't want to have their emails out or whatever.
Which some people don't, you know, until they get to, you know you more personally.
I understand that. Or another thing, too, you can send me an email saying that is anybody interested in vegetarian. We can have a vegetarian meetup. Okay, that's something I'm sure. In fact, that's a lot of highly sensitive. I'm finding a lot of highly sensitive people are vegetarians.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we can do, you know, if you have a thought on a restaurant or a place where we can meet that has vegetarian food or, you know, anything like that. So as I said, I want to plan meetings that are in a proper setting, you know, for us, but also to share a common interest too. So. Also, if you want me to write something, if you want to write a column for my newsletter, you can send me the information. I can edit it, and then I can, you know, send it to you. And I never post anything until I get a person's approval on it. So you don't necessarily have to write everything chapter and verse. You can write information about it, and, you know, I can edit it, and I can send it back to you, and you can say yes or no. So you have the option of doing that. As I said, whether it be having an interest, whether it be promoting a business or what you do, why you like a certain type of work, anything. I want it to be human interest stories. That's why I try to mention personal things about myself, whether it be in my book or whether it be on the newsletter. I find that people really relate to that, and hopefully it helps them. It's kind of cathartic in a way, personally. Because you get your thoughts out there, and then things that are bothering you, it doesn't bother you as much.
Hmm. I find it helpful. Yeah, Cliff, this is Martha again. I find it helpful reading your book. It's very interesting, and you are very open. I'd like to thank you, by the way, Cliff, for being such a kind, yes, sensitive man, and the way you talk to everybody. I really like that. You know, it's really neat.
I thank you very much. And as I said, my goal is to really make people feel good about attending anything that we have. And I want to emphasize the good part of being a highly sensitive person. And as I said, I want to discuss the challenges too, because we all have them.
Yes, we do.
And your Facebook page is great. By the way, everyone join this group on Facebook, because it's a wonderful... You post all these great questions and people respond. It's really it's also another way to stay in touch.
Well, that's good too. That's good too. And as I said, this this conference is being recorded so that people that can't be with us, I'll make sure they get the recording, so this way hopefully they'll feel comfortable about joining us if they can. And as I said, I really appreciate if you can rate the meeting and make any comments. And I learned from everything that we do, and hopefully you do too. So that's my intention.
I look forward to listening to the parts I missed.
Okay, well that's good. Before we sign off, I can't believe we've been on an hour and a half. Are there any thoughts or questions that you'd like to pose before we close?
Well, my
topic
problem,
ideas.
Oh, go ahead, Frank.
Go ahead. You go ahead, Frank.
Go ahead. My problem. I'm Martha, and I'm so highly sensitive that when I get off this. This is typical for me. I'll be thinking about what I said, going over it. Did I say too much? Did I reveal too much? Was I too open?
I want you. Okay. This is what I want. Okay. You're going to hear this again, but I want to emphasize to you that I want you to feel comfortable about being yourself, and you should never be ashamed of what you talk about. Whatever. I mean, you reveal yourself to people as you feel comfortable with them, and I want you to feel that you're among friends.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other thoughts? Any other questions?
And one of the topics, I guess, remains for the future, too, in our particular case, for me and Chrissy, we're trying to be positive in a very negative area. And it's very hard, it's very bad on our nerves right now, and we're considering moving, but how, especially for people like Chrissy, where we have goals to, set, and here you can't concentrate on your goals because of the craziness going on around you.
Okay. Well, you know what? It's something that you and she can talk about and to think about and think about places where you would be comfortable. You know what I mean?
We have an idea, but even to get to that point where it's Chrissy has a shopping problem, I tell you that. It's like, Here we want to move down to North Carolina, but until then, she'll reclude herself in a room and buy up all her CDs and DVDs and then we don't have money to save to go where we want to go.
But realize that you do have a choice, and that these are things that you can to consider where you want to go. So that's another thing, being different. Okay, we work with it. We have choices in how we want to deal with it. And we can make our differences a good thing, or we could make it a negative thing. It's really up to us, but hopefully you make it positive. Okay, before we close, anything else? Okay, very good. Thank you very much for being on the call. If you have any other thoughts, any other questions, please email me at cliff@thehighlysensitiveperson.com, or you could just click the link on the members link. And I really appreciate any comments that you have, any thoughts that you have, and we'll go from there. Okay, till again, good night.
Good night. Thank you very much.
Good night, Cliff.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Long and prosper. Bye.